Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and get an assessment of how President Obama's nominee to head up the Department of Defense equipped himself under a barrage of hostile questions from his former Republican Senate colleagues. Winslow Wheeler, who worked on national security issues for over 30 years for members of the U.S. Senate, joins us to discuss today's lackluster performance by Chuck Hagel and whether that will embolden Republicans to filibuster his nomination. Then we'll look into whether the recent attempt by Republicans to change the Electoral College so that the losing candidate could win the presidency has fizzled or has been put on hold. Jeremiah Gourka, a former Republican who has an article at truthout.org, Shot by Their Own Men, How the Virginia Senate Inadvertently Predicts Republican Decline, joins us to discuss how successful gerrymandering by Republicans could backfire as right-wing incumbents in safe seats are forced to run against even more extreme right-wing candidates, eventually turning off moderate and conservative voters. Then finally, we examine cyber attacks aimed at the New York Times that have been blamed on Chinese hackers in apparent retaliation for negative stories the Times had run about the fabulous wealth accrued by the families of China's leaders. Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China, joins us to discuss who is behind these cyber attacks and the apparent insecurity China's communist leaders have about their capitalist riches. Joining us now is Winslow Wheeler, who has worked on national security issues for over 30 years for members of the United States Senate and for the U.S. General Accounting Office. In 2010, he authored an essay under the pseudonym Spartacus about Congress's reaction to the September 11th terrorist attacks, which led senators to ask for his resignation from the Republican staff of the Senate Budget Committee. He is a senior fellow and director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Project on Government Oversight, and is the author of The Wastrels of Defense, How Congress Sabotages U.S. Security. Welcome to Background Briefing, Winslow Wheeler.
It's great to be with you. Thank you very much for having me.
And you spent a day watching the hearings before the Senate Armed Services Committee on the nomination of Senator Chuck Hagel. What was your impression of the hearing?
It was extremely negative for all parties. It was a horribly depressing exercise in civics. Under pressure from the Republicans on the committee, Senator Hagel spent the entire day eating his own words about his thoughts about policies in the Middle East involving Israel and Iran and American politics. He was subjected to really the crudest form of lowball, crass behavior on the parts of some Republicans. Democrats, many of them, not all of them, seemed particularly interested in what he can do for them in terms of pork for their states. It was not a happy experience for me.
And the most contentious exchange seemed to happen between Senator Hagel and his old friend John McCain, who really did go after him, did he not? I mean, there was a kind of petulance to John McCain's behavior. And of course, ever since he lost to George Bush back in 2000, he's been very bitter about Bush. And then when he lost to then-Senator Obama, now President Obama, he has been extremely bitter towards Obama as well.
Right.
So this is a very bitter man, but what's the source of his anger and bitterness towards Chuck Hagel, do you think?
Well, I can't explain that, but he did seem to almost literally lose control of himself. He expressed himself as incensed that Senator Hagel didn't agree with John McCain about the surge in Iraq, and to Senator Hagel's undying shame, Senator Hagel tried to appease Senator McCain and not answer the questions and not present the view that he had until yesterday, I guess, that the surge in Iraq was not a brilliant success, which John McCain insists it was. He was almost pounding the table, McCain. I mean, it was a remarkable performance. There was another remarkable performance by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who was incensed that Senator Hagel stated quite accurately that the so-called pro-Israel lobby is extremely aggressive on Capitol Hill and uses intimidation to convey their point of view two senators, and Lindsey Graham intimidated Senator Hagel into rejecting his own previous statement that that was a common tactic by the pro-Israel lobby. I mean, here we are, Senator Graham saying, isn't it true that intimidation is a terrible thing, and Israel never did it, or its lobby never did it, and Senator Hagel, sort of under that intimidation, was intimidated into agreeing. I mean, it was quite remarkable.
I was under the impression, Winslow Wheeler, that Hagel was a little bit, obviously he was defensive, he was walking back a lot of stuff, but he also seemed a little muddled at times, particularly over when he mentioned the policy of containment vis-a-vis Iran, and then somebody slipped him a note, and then he sort of had to change that. And then I think it was Senator Levin sort of had to correct him and say what the correct policy of the Obama administration was towards Iran. It's not containment. Well, what is the...
Right, that happened several times, that he fumbled his answer to lots of questions. He was remarkably inarticulate. When I observed him as a senator, when I worked on Capitol Hill, and he was in the Senate, he was a quick-witted, fast-talking politician. The press loved him because he always had something interesting to say. My guess is that he's following his handler's advice to try to say nothing. The only problem is he's not good at saying nothing. He was mumbling his way through a lot of this. Some politicians are quite smart at saying nothing, and they make you walk away thinking, boy, that was an impressive statement he gave me. Then when you pick it apart, you realize he said nothing. He's not good at that. And I'm sure he's on his way back now to the White House, and they're going to have a huddle about how they're going to fix the problem here of his very disappointing performance in these hearings to make sure he's not going to lose Democratic votes as well. They'll have to impose some party discipline to make sure that they've got a solid flank of Democratic senators to support his nomination.
But he needs a few Republican votes as well, not so much to get out of the committee, but in the full Senate vote.
Well, only if they try to filibuster. They certainly have that right. That's wrapped up in some other internal Senate politics. The Republicans are probably feeling pretty emboldened about attacking him now, so I won't be surprised if they change their tactic. They were previously not threatening to filibuster him. But I won't be at all surprised if they now say, well, you're going to need 60 votes to break a filibuster against him.
Well, I thought one of the more depressing walkbacks on the part of Senator Hagel in questions from Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who was tearing into Hagel's global zero advocacy to get rid of nuclear weapons, which, after all, was put forth by people like Henry Kissinger and George Shultz. Why do you think he backed down on that?
I can't explain it. He did get out that he shared the view that Ronald Reagan expressed in his second inaugural address of limiting nuclear weapons. The organization that I used to work for, the Center for Defense Information at the World Security Institute, is the sponsor of Global Zero, so I should get that out on the table there. But he couldn't even adopt the position of defending his own views in the sense that we have this objective out there and we seek to get there. Instead, he tried to pretend he wasn't really sure what was in that report, and no, he didn't really support anything in it. And yet again, he was undoing things that he had associated himself with in the past. Raises the question, just what does he stand for? I mean, if he's the kind of person, the kind of politician who, when you're put under some kind of pressure to abandon your position, he will readily do so, that raises other questions about him. And I'm sure they're worried about his nomination in the White House today.
So is this a tactic? What is behind the fact that so many of his former colleagues in the Republican caucus of the United States Senate are now making such an effort to get rid of them? I know, as I mentioned earlier, McCain and Lindsey Graham seem to be motivated by a kind of bitterness towards, at least in McCain's case, a personal grudge that he lost to Obama. I don't understand why Graham has so many hissy fits all the time and why he is always going after them. Just the other day he said that Hillary Clinton got away with murder over Benghazi. He's definitely acting like their hitman. What do you understand, having served for these Republican senators? Is it just usual partisanship, or there is some deeper meaning here?
Well, you know, I can't explain politicians' personal behavior. What I do know is that Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, for example, is facing a Tea Party challenge in his 2014 election, so he's trying to appease that faction of his party to get through that. It's typical politicians' reactions or behavior. John McCain has a record to defend. He seems to demand that people accept his dogma that the surge in Iraq was a glorious happening and saved the war in Iraq, saved America from the ignominy in Iraq. It certainly didn't. And he was almost literally pounding the table, insisting that Senator Hagel agree with him. And Senator Hagel, to his own disgrace, refused to explain his criticism of the surge or that he had any big problem with it today. You know, it was politicians being politicians on both sides.
So is this a tactic, though, just to, with all of the ads against Hagel from right-wing pro-Israel groups and from the neoconservatives who really hate him because he's actually somebody who actually fought in the military as opposed to all of those chicken hawks like Bill Kristol and company. But already they've moved the goalpost way to the right just by attacking him and by these questions today and his need to sort of come out to out-hawk the hawks. He's laying down a very hawkish foreign policy. So to that extent, they've already succeeded, haven't they?
Well, there's a lot of money out there rattling through the system, requiring people to adopt these positions on questions like Iran and Israel's policy towards the Palestinians and so on. And I would surmise that that's a lot of explanation for what's going on here. There's a lot of anxiousness on the part of Republicans to solidify their base, just like Lindsey Graham solidifying his base for his primary challenge that he has won in 2014. It's politicians being politicians. And Chuck Hagel, because he showed weakness early on in the hearing, these guys really went after him. And the more they pushed, the more he caved. And so they kept on pushing.
And you think that he's going to have a problem getting the votes?
Well, I'm sure they're huddling in the White House right now, discussing what they need to do to preserve this nomination. They'll get the word out to the Democrats in the Senate that this is going to be a partisan issue, and they all have to rally behind Hagel. The Republicans are probably saying the same and trying to insist that even the senator who already said he might vote for Hagel's, Thad Cochran from Mississippi, that he change his position and now rally to the Republican side, and we're going to have a big fight. And it's going to be a foreign policy version of the budget debate where each side is basically saying, screw you.
So the Democrats, though, assuming they don't waver and that the White House gives them enough backbone, they've got the 14 votes on the committee. They need a majority out of 26, so they've already got a majority to get it out of committee. And then the real fight's going to happen in the full Senate.
Yeah, we'll see a party line catfight here, and we'll see all the disgusting behavior we've seen for the last several years on Capitol Hill.
And then an even bigger catfight.
Right, and we'll get noisy and the politicians will see as an opportunity to posture and to collect donations or the ability to get donations in the future. And so, you know, the Hagel nomination, it certainly looks to me, is going to become another football in the partisan fighting on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, but you're also implying, Winslow Wheeler, that it's also going to be a great fundraising tool for pro-Pentagon senators in the pocket of the military contractors to open the coffers?
For both sides. Both sides will be happy to do that. But in this case, it's going to be the Israel lobby and its benefactors like Sheldon Adelson who are going to be throwing around a lot of money trying to exercise their influence and probably doing it fairly successfully. But the manufacturers will be happy to be on both sides of this debate, and the Democrats will be just as happy to appease the manufacturers as the Republicans.
So he could go down, Hagel?
It depends on the end game, whether the Republicans push it to a 60-vote threshold or permit the debate to be decided by a majority vote. I would certainly guess that they're going to push it to a 60-vote threshold, and so the Democrats are going to need some Republicans if it gets to that. It's going to be tough.
Well, Winslow Wheeler, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And I was just speaking then with Winslow Wheeler, who has worked on national security issues for over 30 years for members of the United States Senate and for the U.S. General Accounting Office. In 2002, he authored an essay under the pseudonym Spartacus about Congress's reaction to the September 11th terrorist attacks, which led senators to ask for his resignation from the Republican staff of the Senate Budget Committee. He is a senior fellow and director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Project on Government Oversight and is the author of The Wastrels of Defense, How Congress Sabotages U.S. Security. And we're going to take a brief station break and we'll come back and discuss how successful gerrymandering by Republicans will backfire.
Every crack, anybody wanna tell it like it is to each other, like you would to a sister or a brother. It could be said, Cosmo.